Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the strike zone and calling that strike zone as an umpire across some of the different sanctions.
Yeah, there's some very recent posts on Facebook, one of the Facebook groups that we follow, about the strike zones in the different sanctions, and then some really fun comments down below. So we thought we'd just jump in and maybe take some time to talk about strike zones, how to call them, and some of the crap that you're going to get.
Yeah, so that's one of the interesting things about strike zones always is, what's funny is the books are not ambiguous, right? The book is very clear on what a strike is. And the fun part is, sometimes if you call that strike zone, everyone will be mad at you. Both coaches, everyone will be mad if you call
it. Pitchers don't like it. Yeah, batters don't like it, everything.
And it's funny, but and then you get people who are on record, like we are right now, where people could play this back and judge us based on it, who will only say, yes, let me act according to the book. I'm going to see this. I will never not call one of those unpopular strikes. Right. Yeah, I will call the unpopular strike every time, or I will only call it in certain circumstances. And then people will be like, oh, you're the kind of person that makes umpiring a bad profession. So we'll get into all that as we talk about it.
So Pete, let's start with what's the most common strike zone? Are there more than one strike zone?
Yeah, so there are more than one strike zone. Someone was very helpful, John Zaneski in the post on Ask the Softball Umpire, I think was the group,
had posted. That was a free shout out, John.
There you go. Posted like every rule book he could find, and it was pretty extensive. So most of the strike zones come down to, and we'll go through the exact wording, but armpits to knees, any part of the ball, armpits to knees. However, the NC2A has a different definition for a strike zone.
That's right. Yep. The NC2A is bottom of the sternum to the knees.
Yep. So. And instead of any part of the ball, it's the top of the ball has to come in under that.
Yeah. Same thing. That's the same thing in NFHS and USA ball as well.
Okay. All right. So let's get in. Let's read the rules. So we've got some rules here. I'll start off by reading the NFHS rule. The rule for the strike zone in NFHS is found in the definition section. So this is rule 2, in this case, section 56. So the strike zone for fast pitch, article 3. The strike zone is the space over home plate, which is between the batter's forward armpit and the top of the knees when the batter assumes a natural batting stance. Any part of the ball passing through the strike zone in flight shall be considered a strike. The umpire shall determine the batter's strike zone according to the batter's usual stance. They kind of stressed that part twice. There were some notes about people. I'm sure some of you have seen those viral videos where a kid came to bat and they were crouched way down and someone threw it down the middle, but from their super crouched stance, it was, you know, mouth level or nose level, and the umpire rang it up as a strike because in the person's natural batting stance, anything you would assume that would have been a strike, probably belt high or whatever, right?
Yeah, it was so right down the pipe, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got to consider what their usual stance is. And in reality, I don't know that I wouldn't consider some kind of warning. You know, we were just looking through some rules earlier, and there was something where someone making a mockery? What were they doing? On sporting conduct. There was, did they eject the player for that one? I think they did, right? I think they threw in the case play I read, threw the shortstop out of the game for unsporting conduct. So in that case, there's at least something to be said to the person. Because they're doing that. What are you doing? So I don't know that I wouldn't give them a warning. It's like, don't do that again.
Yeah, that was. That was the NFHS casebook play for obstruction where the shortstop just grabbed the runner from second to keep her from getting to third on a forced play. And so not only did they award the batter third base because, you know, no out was made or couldn't be called out between the bases, but also ejected the shortstop, which... That's an interesting one.
Yeah, I don't know that I would have done that had I not read that play. Right. But that is interesting. This is just, I went, rabbit hole. Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay.
Strike zone. Here we go.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's funny. So we just read the NFHS rules. So let's go ahead and talk just a little bit more about that. One of the responders in the Facebook group said that most of our umpires believe that the belly button is the top of the strike zone. Mm-hmm. My smart aleck comment on the post was, sounds like a really good topic for a preseason meeting, I guess. But words like most of our umpires, that's a scary, scary thing. So hopefully that was a over-exaggeration or something. Maybe somebody. I would love it if it was one person that said that. Or maybe a couple of people, but there's not a rule set out there where the belly button is part of the discussion about where the strike zone is. And in the NFHS rule that you just read, you know, the top of the strike zone being the front armpit,
yeah,
is a very high strike.
It is.
So I can remember that. I think we've even talked about it here on the podcast, but, you know, my daughter was a pitcher. And even as a pitcher, she said, that's not a strike, Dad. You call that a strike, and she goes, that's not a strike, Dad. I'm like, well, it is according to the book. So I think toward the end of our session today, we'll talk a little bit about calling the strike zone. So let's stick with what the strike zones are.
Yes. It's okay. So that was NFHS. If I go through just for the sake of time, the rule for UTRIP, forward armpit, top of knees, the rule for Little League softball, batter's armpits, top of knees, NSA softball, armpit, top of knees, Pony League softball. You guys go get it, right? So that's that. So assume everything here is basically the same except for NC2A. So David, you could break that one down for us.
Yeah, I will. Just a quick one though about USA. It doesn't say front armpit in USA
ball. Yeah, several of the other ones don't mention it. And we were in some of our pre-meeting for this podcast, we are professional in that way.
Barely.
Yeah. I was demonstrating all the difference you could possibly create in your armpits. So if you think about how a batter stands, typically as they go the back side of their body, well, you'll shift the shoulder up slightly. So you will create a slight difference. I bent as far as I could bend, and maybe I got a partial ball width in difference of my armpits, but not much. But I think the forward armpit, in any of those sections, I would probably be looking there as my guideline.
Right. Yeah, and most pitchers that we're going to be calling pitches about, the ball's headed down anyway. So the rear armpit being higher, it really doesn't matter. It would definitely be out of the strike zone if it crossed the front one. So, yeah, now to the NCAA rule, bottom of the sternum. So if you could see me right now, I would have my fist, my clenched hand, you know, like sitting on top of my belly, because that's the bottom of the sternum. This was, I heard Bill Gmolich actually say this once, that he's looking for umpires that can get this pitch. I want somebody to get that pitch. You know, I'm watching for you to get that pitch. In other words, call the higher strike. You know, a lot of times you will hear some of the old baseball stuff, you know, it's belt buckle to knees. And we're talking about NC2A ball here. So these are high performing pitchers here. So they should be able to hit a tight zone. And yeah, they should. And the top of the strike zone is the bottom of the sternum. So call that pitch, you know, make sure you get that pitch.
And that's not even that high. That is not high.
Right. Yeah, that's not high.
It's like a ball width away from your belly button, you know, so it's.
Oh, good God, you said belly button.
Is there navel?
No, just because of the Facebook post about belly button. Yeah, yeah, no reference to the belly button.
Yeah, my point is, though, it is higher than that.
Yeah,
but it is exactly. Not far. Right. So even if you guys think that's where the top is, you don't have to go far to be right.
Yeah.
You know, so just adjust. Just and look that's a only little
on
higher.
That's on NCAA.
Yeah.
They got to go quite a bit higher for
way
the
higher
NFHS.
Than everywhere else.
Yeah. So we've talked about the height of the ball. Let's talk, before we move on to the horizontal side of things, which I had to learn about from Pete today, you know, funny inside story there, so maybe another episode. But the top of the zone is not any part of the ball, and that's the only part. So if you think about a strike zone being a square or a rectangle, so I want to talk about the rectangle of the strike zone. I bet you that everybody can picture that rectangle on the Major League Baseball, you know, plate when you're watching a game. So if we're talking about that rectangle, the sides of that rectangle, any part of the ball touches that side. So a stitch, if you will. And this is where people would say, oh yeah, I call the river. Well, you should call all but 2.18 inches of the river, mm-hmm. because the ball can actually touch the outside of the plate and still be 2.8 inches from the batter's box. The river is not a thing unless part of the ball touches the plate. Right. So, but that's any part of the ball. So the seam, even. And this is where you got to get really good to, you know, get that pitch. And if you're watching minor league baseball and, you know, they're doing a review of the pitches, you know, was it really a strike or not? That's what they're down to. They're down to stitches worth. So that's true for the sides. It's also true for the bottom. Any part crosses the top of the knee. So the ball could go right across the knee as long as the top of the ball was at the top of the knee and no lower, which we'll talk about that one too. But the top of the strike zone is the one where the whole ball has to pass underneath the top of the strike zone. So if you're looking at that box, and you put a ball on the sides, you can see balls outside of the box but touching the line for the bottom and the sides. But for the top of the strike zone, the entire ball has to be in that box. So, or below the line, not in the box, but below the line.
Yeah, and it specifies that explicitly in NC2A. This is so where some confusion can come in too as well, is the NFHS one specifically says any part of the ball passing through the strike zone in flight should be considered a strike. So there is no, it doesn't seem to indicate in NFHS that there's that top, a hard limit, a hard cap on the top of the zone, whereas NCAA does explicitly mention a hard cap at the top.
Yeah, maybe we need to do some research, because I think it was an NFHS diagram that actually shows what we just described. So it might not be in the verbiage of the rule, but it's definitely in the diagram.
Yeah, and I've definitely seen people put through pictures where they talk about, by the way, this is a strike, and you've got a ball coming across, and half the ball is above her armpit, half the ball is below. This is a strike, this is not a strike, you know, and the ball will be clear up by her chin, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So let's talk about calling them. And let's do NFHS ball first. We're approaching both the NFHS and the NC2A season here. But so first we'll talk about NFHS and the change from USA ball, if you will, if it's a change, or any of the other sanctions. So the top of the zone is not supposed to change from anything you've done in the summertime. That was NSA, Pony, big old long list of alphabet soup that Pete read earlier. So it's not supposed to change. The top is not supposed to change. However, also, well, before I get there, let's talk about umpire mechanics as well. So in both USA and NFHS ball, your eyes are supposed to be at the top of the strike zone. So this is from the mechanics manual. You're supposed to be in the slot with your eyes adjusted to the top of that player's strike zone. I remember this very well because, you know, I started out doing 10U, 12U, these young little ladies and me getting my 6'4" self down there, which is, that's not happening, but you got to try. That puts your eyes at the top of the strike zone. Anything that goes up, if your eyes have to go up to track the pitch, we've got a ball that's out of the strike zone, so we have a ball. And anything that you don't have to move your eyes up for, you have a strike. Now, if you call that front armpit, you're going to get shade. They're going to yell.
Yeah, you're going to get it, any of these sanctions.
Yep, they're not going to like it. So, which is another reason that top of the ball, for me, for sure, 100%, top of the ball at the armpit. And if there's a rule that I stretch maybe a teeny tiny bit, it's probably that one. It needs to be, because I need to break the rules, it has to be a millimeter below that. It has to be. So my armpit estimation might be off a little bit, but not a lot. Right. So not a lot. People would say, you know, across the numbers on the jersey. Mm-hmm. And if you actually looked at the jersey, the top of the numbers or the top of the, you know, whatever the name of the team is, you know, would probably be really close to the bottom of the armpit. And so, but I don't want to use that as a thing, but it's like, it's up there. But just from the feedback I even got from my own daughter, who's a pitcher and wants all of the strikes that she could get, she said, "Dad, that's not a strike." It's like, yeah, but it is. So you just got to be really, really careful and consistent about where that is. And you need to do it by the book. Don't do the millimeter below, like I just said. So it's a do as I do, not as I say type thing. Or do as it.
Other way. That. Yeah. Strike that, reverse
flip it. That. Yeah, flip that. But sideways, same thing, really close. So calling the pitch, tracking those pitches in, seeing it catch that outside corner. And so, Pete, here's a question. Where the catcher catches the ball, what does that have to do with the strike zone?
Has nothing to do with the strike zone, only in so much as you ensured that she received it, you know, for a third strike situation.
Like a drop third strike.
Yeah, but other than that, for the placement of the zone, nada.
Yeah. So just to be crystal clear on that, if a catcher, a good catcher, let's go to NCAA here. We're talking about a senior, maybe even a fifth year COVID senior, you know, from last year. Well, it would be 2 years ago now, I guess. But yeah, man, we're getting old. It's a long time ago. So we're talking about a very seasoned catcher, you know, 4-year starter. This player knows what she's doing. She sets up on the outside corner of the plate, and the pitcher has a phenomenal drop curve that catches the outside corner on the right-handed batter. And the catcher ends up actually receiving the ball almost in the left-handed batter's box.
Mm-hmm.
I said that it caught the corner. and it was knee or higher, that's a strike, and the catcher caught the ball behind the batter's box.
Yep.
You're going to catch shade for it.
Yeah.
But, dude, you got to hit it. And now we've got instant replay. And so your assigners, you know, depending on the games that you're at, right, that we've got the games being recorded. And so your assigners actually have tools where they can see the pitch, just like the Major League Baseball ones on TV, and get it. And if you're not getting that pitch, you're going to get a call.
Right. Right. Well, that's the thing. At high-level ball, and this could even be pretty good varsity play, the pitchers are bending the pitches. And oh, yeah. So you have to get where the catcher catches it. Is going. It doesn't matter if it's a drop ball, and that way it came in and got the front knee and then fell out, and they caught it almost in the dirt. That might mean they threw a curve that came. I had a game where our high school team was playing when I was coaching a couple years ago, and the pitcher was throwing a curveball that was coming kind of at the batter's hip. So it looked like it was going to hit him. And so they all got scared. And then the ball curved in about halfway along the way and curved in. And the catcher was catching it. In this case, they were catching it in the strike zone. But not only that, as it passed the plate, it was catching a significant portion of the plate. And the umpire, strike, strike, strike. And these girls are, umpire's table. And I was telling them, I was like, listen, that pitch is coming at you every time it's coming in and catching the zone. Every time. You guys need to stay on it. And if you have to, swing late, you know, foul it off, you know, send it into the first base dugout, whatever it takes. And what's funny is between innings, the umpire was like, basically thanked me for that. He said, you're seeing it exactly right. That's correct. That is what's happening with the pitch. You know, I appreciate you telling the girls that. Thanks for, you know, making them not sit up here and yell at me the whole time, whatever. Right. So, you know, that kind of thing. But, yeah. I mean, that's what happened. And that was an umpire who was following the pitch all the way through, was making sure that it didn't, because some people will do that if the pitch is starting to happen. Kind of abandon ship, you know, like, oh, that looks bad. And just like the batter might, they might say, oh, that's a bad pitch and give up on it. And then whoop, bend, and you get it. Follow the pitch. You got to follow it from her fingers to the glove and, you know, track the path all the way through that little rectangle we talked about, or cube.
Yep. And that's always been a point of contention with me from my very first mechanics thing. If the strike zone is at the plate, you know, there's two things. One, track the pitch all the way to the catcher's mitt. You're absolutely supposed to do that. NCAA, NC2A or the CSA manual is a little different there. Slight eye movement to track the pitch. But all the other sanctions are track the pitch all the way to the glove, at least what you're going to get from your mechanics instructors. You're going to get that. And I've always kind of said, why? I need to track the ball to the strike zone and then evaluate the ball. Was it a strike or not? At the strike zone, I don't care what happened at the catcher.
Yeah.
But so that's always just been my, I'm a pain in the ass learner type thing. But so that's one piece of it. And then the other piece is, what I was going to say was, don't give up on pitches. There was something that Pete said, don't give up on the pitch. Be really careful not to give up on them when they're changeups.
Right.
The batters will give up on them almost every time. It's like, oh, and now they stop. They realize it's a changeup and they're not going to swing now, right? Unless they've been trained well. So one of my favorite things to see happen is changeups go over the fence when we're on offense. I really like to see changeups go over the fence, but umpires will give up on the pitch as well. I've even seen umpires start to remove themselves from their crouch.
Stand up.
Yeah, they're standing up and the pitch isn't even to the strike zone yet. It's like, oh, dude, you got to
get it. It may come out of their hand and look like it's chin high or something, but hang on. Yeah. As it falls, watch it fall right through the zone.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, Pete, I don't know, how'd we do? Did we get it? So strike zone, almost all of them, front armpit, whole ball underneath the front armpit. NCAA is bottom of the sternum. Everything else is, you know, top of knee and the width of the plate. Remember that there's 2.18 inches between a strike and the river. So there's room for that ball to be not in the batter's box and not a strike. Right? So the river's
where the catcher catches it doesn't matter. You know, you're going to catch. You'll probably get some grief when, you know, if the ball, she caught it in the dirt. It's in the dirt. However, it came by and got her front knee. So blah, blah.
So I guess a personal story real quick. Fall ball last year, NCAA, Division I, I dropped a pitch for sure. I was plate umpire. I dropped a pitch for sure. It was the pitch I was talking about. Outside corner of the plate, drop curveball. And I saw it, saw where the catcher caught it, paused, replayed the pitch in my head, and said, I think it got the corner, and I banged it. And as soon as I did, I went, oh, no, it didn't get the corner. I had that wrong in my replay. You know, it's like, no, it just missed. It was outside. And low, probably. And so my post game with my partners were like, oh, you dropped that pitch. And he goes, you even paused. You even thought about it. And it still messed it up. And I said, I know. Yep, sure did. Missed it. And what do you do there? Do you make one up then?
No.
No. No. You just say, oh, I'm sorry, catch. Yep, drop that one.
Yeah, there's the thing in software estimation where people are really bad at estimating. And if you estimate only big things, so if I estimate, say I have three features, and if I estimate them by feature, I'm going to maybe miss by a lot. But if I break the features down into the tasks and I estimate, some of them I might estimate a little high, some of them I might estimate a little low, and eventually you end up actually much more accurate in your estimating. The same way with this. If you are pretty consistent with your strike zone, you may miss a little in, you know, and so you missed, we'll say it this way. You miss some strikes you should have called balls, and you'll miss some balls you should have called strikes, and you will end up being fair more or less to anyone anyway.
Yeah.
Don't sit here and actively try to fix that and say, oh, I owe them an out. And so you're keeping score in your head. I owe this team a strike. I owe this team an out. I owe this team a safe call. I owe this. No.
Yeah.
Call it. You know, if you're an umpire who's doing that, those little tiny bits. And as you're a newer umpire, that's going to be, you're going to miss by a lot. Your estimation in this case, your judgment is going to be poor and not poor, but you know what I mean? Like worse than a person who's a super seasoned umpire. You're not going to be as fine grained on catching every nuance of, did this pitch catch this part of the plate? Was this tag applied in this way with a whatever?
Yeah.
You're going to get better and better. And so your goal is perfection and then getting better every game after that. But in truth, you are going to get better and that's going to get finer grained and you're going to work towards it and you're going to just be as fair as you can be every single call, and that will work out to be as fair as you can be every single game. Don't keep score like that.
Right. Yep. And then strike zone, was it Linda that told you it's going to take you 5 years to get one?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yep. And you work through, you're going to work through these exact things we're talking about. You know what's going to happen? You're going to come in, and maybe when you start, I'm an umpire and I'm going to call the strike by the book. And if they don't like it, someone asks me what the zone is, I'm going to tell them and it's going to be this. And you're going to come in and then you're going to start calling the zone by the book. And then people are going to be upset. And then maybe as a new umpire, you're going to go, ooh, you know what? I'm only going to call the popular strike zone.
Right.
And so now you're doing this. And then as you get higher level, now some of your assigners or some of your UICs or whoever's, you know, kind of watching you and evaluating you are going to come over and be like, hey, bro, are you familiar with the strike zone?
have you read the book?
Could I introduce you to the zone? This is my good friend, the zone. And then you do that. And now you're working your way back up, you know, so your zone may start very liberal and then you get very tight and then it kind of opens up again and you start getting those zones and you start becoming more cool, call it quote unquote pitcher friendly, which is really just giving the pitcher the entire zone as is defined in the book.
As is defined in the book.
Right. And then that's just kind of how it works out. So it'll be, I think that's almost a natural progression almost every umpire is going to go through. One thing we didn't talk about, and we're getting a little long, so maybe just real quick, whatever you're working, we'll call it a lower level game. So you're working some of those, especially as you're coming up, 8U rec ball, 10U rec ball, you know, the zone that we got a pitcher that can't find the zone with a compass and a map. Dora the Explorer is no help. You know, what are we doing in some of those zones when everyone wants you to open the zone up?
Yeah. So funny story there. Pretty early in my career doing a seventh grade game at Upper Arlington. I don't remember who was there at Upper Arlington. It might have been eighth grade. So it could have been an eighth grade game, I guess. But anyway, we were at Upper Arlington. I don't remember who the visiting team was. Upper Arlington being the home team. Well, they threw like three up, three down in the first inning. And then Upper Arlington came up and just scored like 12.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all walks. So we're talking like we've been here an hour and it's, you know, 12 to nothing. And we've got one inning under our belt, right? And so the next half inning, you know, Upper Arlington, three up, three downs them again. And as the Upper Arlington coach is passing behind me to go to the third base coach's box, I said, you might want to go back to the dugout, coach and instruct your players. He's like, oh, yeah, what's that? If the ball's headed this direction and it ain't rolling, I'm going to call it a strike. And he goes, oh, so we better hit the ball. And I said, yeah, because we're going to be here for 4 hours, bro.
Yeah.
So it's going to get dark on us, you know. So that's a bit of an exaggeration, but did you open the zone up there, David? Yeah, I did. I opened the zone up quite a bit. It's like, yeah, hit the ball.
Yeah.
You know,
and
let's
play
ball.
There's a balance to be found there, too. It's like no one's learning anything. You've got to get to however many innings to make it a legal game in whatever sanction you're playing. So that's like, that's one part. The other part is you don't want to necessarily be unfair to the girls because it's like, what if you ring a girl up on three straight pitches that came in at eye level?
Right.
But also the fact of the matter is, you probably could have hit it, but
yeah,
okay. But you do, if you do that, her batting average drops, her confidence level might drop, you know, she's going to get yelled at on the way home. I don't know. So there's something to be judged there, some kind of level, but yeah, there, that's the other thing is like, we're going to be here 4 or 5 hours. when there's this big of a mismatch.
Yep. So the real thing that should happen is the coach needed to take care of it. And after scoring 8 runs and realizing that the girl has thrown, you know, whatever that is, 8 runs plus 3, so that's 12, so 4. So she's thrown 48 pitches and none of them crossed the strike zone.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? You just want to keep walking all day? Or, what are you going to do, right? That happened to me actually up at Highland, I think.
Yeah, I appreciate those. I've had that a couple of times where, as a matter of fact, the coach had a signal that he told me when he was going to the box. He said, I'm going to do this signal. And when I do that, call somebody out for stepping on a base, off a base. He goes, they might not do it because they might miss the signal. Don't care. Call it anyway. Right. So he's like, because that's what he wanted. He was like, okay, we're going to win the game. We're going to get it within the rules. And it's going to be, we're going to get our 10-run rule. We're not trying to embarrass anyone. We're not trying to be here for 6 hours. Step off bases.
Yeah, nobody's getting any benefit out of it. That's the thing. The pitcher's not getting any help. You know, the experience is not there. The players, the defensive players are not getting balls to play. The batters are not getting balls to hit. So zero good is coming from this.
Right.
So,
and that's actually the way that this should get fixed. It shouldn't be that I have to broaden my zone.
That's right.
It should be that. Because it doesn't take long to get to the score that you need to be at and then to end the game. And then it's just
As soon as we change the score, the NFHS, it has to go 5 innings now. It's like, oh, it takes some time now. So, Anyway, like you said, we're getting long. Last quick story. I was at Olentangy Liberty. And this is also early in my career. And a coach approached me at the plate meeting. I was going to be the plate umpire. And she said, do you have any questions for me? You know, that's how I do at the end of my plate meetings almost all the time. She said, since you asked, what's your strike zone? And I said, you can find it in the book. But since you asked me, I'll also tell you that I raised a pitcher. Just kind of left it at that. And she grinned and said, so swing the bat. I said, you want to swing your strikes probably.
There you go.
So anyway, I think that's all we got for you today.
Yep. So until next time.
Thanks for listening.